Hollis stablecoin coming soon, GM.
Hey, speaking of mid-cribbing, why do we have to have a shitcoin casino on Polkadot?
Connect wallet button, MetaMask is an option, and they connect it to that. Just weeks away from the money market.
Oh, whoa.
Not financial advice. Do your own research.
The launch team wishes you good luck and Godspeed.
Space Monkeys blasting off with Mr. Lol McShiz, also known as Ben from Hydra DX. We had the guys from Hydra on the show last summer, but a lot has happened since then. Ben, welcome to the show.
Thanks for having me.
You know, when we had you on the show, it was when we were recording in Copenhagen at Decoded. Who was it? Valerie got all uncomfortable when I asked about a stablecoin.
Yes.
He totally denied its existence. Yeah. And here we are. We're hearing about this Holler stablecoin.
Yeah.
What gives? What's the deal?
Holler stablecoin coming soon, TM.
Okay.
No, we always, like, I know that Jacob had always wanted that as part of the DeFi stack. It was always in the, I think, the end game.
Okay.
And there's been a lot of comments about Learner, the hub token in Omnipool, and that being a de facto stablecoin.
Yeah, yeah.
So there's a lot of jokes around that. And we've talked about stablecoin a bunch of times, but nothing official.
Uh-huh.
And I think, there was a bit of uncomfortableness about, you know, especially with our regulations and things like that around.
Yeah, sure,
like,
right.
Oh, do we want to be saying we're doing a stablecoin before that's even 100% confirmed? But obviously now we're fully going forward with that. So, no more awkward denials.
Are you guys doing an algorithmic stablecoin?
Yeah, so we're...
Risky business, no?
So, well, yes and no. I mean, ultimately, there's risk on everything in the
space,
right?
Yeah.
But, I mean, it's over-collateralized. It's a battle-tested protocol. So, it's part of the money market that we're launching, which is an RVV3 fork. So you can already check out, it's in sort of, it's in production with Aave, so it's their Go stablecoin.
Okay.
So I think they've got something like $35 million worth of issuance.
Okay. So it's backed? It's not just purely algorithmic?
No. Over-collateralized with some extra funky sweet steps underneath that we'll do because we have our own app-specific chain. So it's sort of like Go, which works currently, over-collateralized, so you mint it by providing collateral of whitelisted assets. So those would be like Bitcoin, ETH, DOT,
VDOT,
other stable coins if you wanted to.
Sure.
That is how you mint it. And then you can swap it because it'll be an asset available in the Omnipool, in the stable pools. So you can then swap it for any other asset or you can use it for payments or whatever from there. So we'll then add some bells and whistles in terms of maintaining some stability. So we'll use our stable pools and a unique implementation of those to sort of automatically help arb the price over time based on the other stable coins as well. So some cool things we're planning to do because we have a big Omnipool underneath it and we have our own blockchain.
You can
sort of do some fun stuff with it.
Well, Polkadot ecosystem needs a natively produced stable coin. We've been hungering for this for a long time.
Absolutely.
I thought it was a joke that you guys were going to call it Holler, but you're sticking with Holler.
Yeah, it's just a really sexy name.
It is, of course.
Hydrated dollar.
Yeah, there you go.
And super, super sexy.
Cool.
To say as well. So, love it. Holler.
So how are you describing the HydraDX protocol now? It's more than it was when we spoke last summer.
Yeah. So, HydraDX, as it has been, we launched that January last year, finally launched the Omnipool.
Yeah.
That was always considered the first of a series of Lego bricks for this feature, right? But fundamentally, it was a new take on an AMM, putting all assets in one pool.
Yeah.
And then since then, we've spent the year adding all these additional things on top of it. So we added stable pools, we added liquidity mining, we added DCA.
I love the DCA.
So we've got all these additional features which are designed to make it more efficient, more easy to use, more flexible for users. But that's all centered around this swapping function. And everyone knows that the holy trinity of DeFi are the swaps, the borrowing and lending, and the stablecoin.
Okay.
So we're now adding those two missing verticals. So it'll be an all-in-one DeFi stack, which, because we're an app-specific blockchain, we can do a lot more under the hood to make it all more efficient, yeah.
Compared to other major DeFi products in the entire crypto ecosystem, what's kind of a mark of TVL that you guys are trying to hit to, you know, maybe join a club above?
So this is a difficult one, right? So
right.
With TVL, and depending on who you ask, loads of people say it's a bit of a Mickey Mouse metric because, you know, it's gameable, and you're seeing all of these campaigns at the minute where people are just locking up tokens ready for an airdrop.
Yeah.
So they're getting hundreds of millions of TVL, but that's not doing anything.
Yeah.
But at the same time, you do need to pump TVL to, like, you know...
You can't go around explaining why this is a Mickey Mouse metric to the general public, right?
And, and people don't care there. If they see there's no liquidity...
Yeah.
No volume in trades, then they think it's dead, right? So you sort of have to play the game sometimes. That being said, when you see some of these DEXs that have got hundreds of millions of TVL, it's on a basic Uniswap design, right? So you can look at that, and most of their pools will be paired with like a native token or something like that.
Sure.
So most of the liquidity is just the other side of that trade, right?
Right.
So it's really inefficient, but in the Omnipool you can do a lot more with a lot less. So like this dot liquidity, this 1 million dot that's being added, that is tradable for any swap that involves dot. So it's not like normally where you provide dot liquidity and then you could, I want to provide it against Glimmer, or I want to provide it against HDX, or I want to provide it against this. Like, you're providing it, like, that is the Omnipool liquidity, and any trade involving dot or sometimes other assets, we'll use that. So it makes all the trades more efficient.
But this inefficiency with DEXs we're used to, this actually has to pump up the TVL because you need more value locked in order to get deep liquidity in each individual pool, right?
Yeah, exactly. So you need big numbers, because if you've got, say, 10 assets and you want them all to be tradable against each other, you've got to have a lot of pools with a lot of liquidity on both sides.
That being said, what is the TVL number you want to hit to, like, impress the plebs, impress the masses?
Well, I'd like to be over 100 mil.
Over 100 mil,
I think that's a realistic, you know, we're 20% of the way there.
Yeah.
Without any sort of, like, big drive going on at the moment, but we've got a lot of exciting projects coming.
Sweet.
To the ecosystem and beyond. And obviously a big part of our vision is to sort of, whilst we are on Polkadot, we are secured by Polkadot, and it has loads of benefits. It doesn't have to be everything about you, right? Like, if a user can come and use it with MetaMask not realizing they're using Polkadot, then that's great, right?
You guys have really integrated Ethereum lately, the Ethereum experience. How does that look? So people with an EVM address, they have MetaMask in their browser. How do they interact with HydraDX?
So they just connect to it like they do on any Ethereum app, basically. They just press the connect wallet button, MetaMask is an option, and they connect it to that. So at the moment, it's implemented so that you use wrapped ETH as the payment currency.
Okay.
Which, people coming from Ethereum, is probably not too confusing for them, because that's probably what they sent across and that's what they're used to using.
So they need to come packing with wrapped Ethereum?
Yes.
And particularly the wrapped Ethereum you have on HydraDX.
Yeah, so basically the way of getting the liquidity from Ethereum to Hydra is using Wormhole, or Moonbeam rooted liquidity, all together the stack.
Yeah.
So they have to have had some asset to send across anyway. So that's not a super difficult barrier for them, but it is a friction that we don't like nonetheless. So we're very shortly, we'll be rolling out full EVM paying any fees like you used to with Substrate. So at the moment, you connect your Talisman, if you send dot across, then you just use that as fee payment asset, right?
Yeah, sure.
You don't need to go and buy the native token or go to a centralized exchange to get the token to be able to interact with the chain or something silly like that, right? So we're unrolling that experience for our EVM users as well.
Okay, but you need to have some token on the HydraDX network, EVM network, right?
Yeah. So you'll use whatever token you've got, right? So it doesn't matter which token it is, whether it's, you know, if you send USDC or USDT through Moonbeam rooted liquidity, the last thing you want to do is then have to go and send another transaction, especially with Ethereum bridge costs. You don't want to keep sending bits just for like a few, you know, fractions of a cent for transaction fees, right? So it'll just reduce some friction there and open up the doors for more options.
And are people able to interact with Substrate assets in the Omnipool?
There is no EVM or Substrate, right?
So
what's it is an EVM environment deployed on Hydra, the user doesn't know they're interacting with EVM. They don't know.
But what if they trade for Dot? They're holding Dot in their MetaMask. Like, hi, can you help me square this up?
So everything resolves down to Substrate on the underlying. So our asset registry is on our on the Substrate side.
Ah, I see.
So it's just the way that they resolve down to it through the EVM. But yeah, it's Substrate native tokens that they're holding. Trying to mid curve things too much. It's just like people use MetaMask. People are used to EVM, so we can just add it, right? Like, this is one of the benefits of building on Polkadot, that just add the bits you need, like build it, like add a palette that will allow you to have EVM. Great, done, tick that box.
Okay, speaking of mid-curving, you guys have successfully built out a shitcoin casino. Whose idea was it, and why? Why do we have to have a shitcoin casino on Polkadot?
In terms of whose idea it was,
yeah,
hard to say. I know I've been shouting about it for a while.
Yeah, yeah, okay.
Simply because in other ecosystems, you can just launch a token and can set up trading and you can go, right? And always in this ecosystem, with, you know, you've had to get the teams connected, you have to open up XCM channels, you have to go through governance to add assets to asset registry, you have to go through governance to start trading. And so it's just so many barriers that people just won't do it. Because a lot of the fun and shitcoining and other ecosystems, it's just somebody's just like, oh, this is funny, let's crack a coin for that, and just sort of a lot of, you know, it's got to be quick and easy.
Mm-hmm.
So we had to add in a permissionless asset registry, so that, for example, any asset that's created on Asset Hub, where we obviously have permissionless asset creation, that they can just then exist on Hydra. It's a simple registration that anyone can do.
A
single extrinsic, so that removed the barriers of, right, okay, you need to go through governance to create that. And obviously we had the OmniPool, which is, you know, super safe, secure, and only mature assets allowed in there.
Sure.
But we then added isolated pools, so that's just your normal Uniswap, XYK, AMM, right?
Because you don't want to add risk to the OmniPool, that's
absolutely
right?
Absolutely not, okay. Yeah. So the OmniPool is designed for, you know, more mature assets. You don't want your price discovery going from there, because everything shares this relationship with Learner.
I saw on some of the meme coins you have a little warning, and it tells you the person who launched this coin hasn't revoked their admin privileges over it yet.
So we're learning as we go.
Yeah.
And it's been quite an intense, like, we were working on this for a while, and then obviously had Pink and Dead that just decided to launch out of nowhere. Obviously it took a long time, but it just suddenly came, right? So we all of a sudden had to pull together the UI features and things like this. So We wanted to, initially, like Dead and Pink, we added to the UI because everybody knew about them. We've been talking about them for like 6 months or however long it'd been, right?
No doubt,
so it felt fairly safe adding them. But then what you think is, anyone can add these assets. Like, we don't want hundreds and thousands of assets like clogging up the UI
and
fake USDCs and USDTs and things like that. So I had to think of a way that users could interact with these without us endorsing them or having to add them to the UI every time.
Clever.
So that's when we then added the feature where the user just adds the new asset, and we're trying to make that a smoother process. But again, we then realize things that, like, the Asset Hub token creator, you know, they can freeze things, they can delete balances, they they've got God mode.
Basically.
And so, like, you sort of have to present that information to people that, like, guys, we're not saying that this is a risk, but there is a risk here. Like, if the wrong person had those keys, that they could just simply delete them. So, yeah, it's just sort of like making user aware. So there's a few different tiers on there. We're working on a process of how can a asset, you know, because if the next Dogecoin exists on Polkadot, then you don't want it to always have this little warning thing, right?
So
there's a red little triangle for they've still got admin privileges. There's yellow for when that admin has been revoked in some way. So Pink, for example, they gave the owner to a proxy account, and then they burnt the proxy. It's a keyless account.
This is verified by the team, though.
You can see it on chain. You can see it. So yeah, we then just added it as a whitelist. So it's got a little thing, and then we're going to add a process for how can we get rid of the warning altogether if an asset's deemed, you know, safe enough.
Suitable,
through governance, perhaps. But at least you sort of got the tiered stages that you can go through.
What's in your meme coin bag right now?
Stink.
You guys are heavy on Stink?
To be fair, I've aped them all just because it's fun. I'm having a lot of fun with Stink. I'm still waiting for my Gavwith hat.
Me too, yeah. I don't know if that's coming.
I think there's some others as well. I've heard about a whole load of ones. Obviously, you've got Dota is launched on the
Canary is one well. That Canary, keeps popping up with a bit of ferocity, and then we don't see them. And then,
exactly. There's a whole lot of them, and it's just a bit of fun, a bit of degenism.
Totally.
But there's some stickers in this Stink group.
and one of them is no fun allowed on Polkadot. It's just taking the mick out of people who overthink it a bit, you know.
Yeah, yeah.
It's just a bit of fun, but yeah, some needed volumes and activity in the ecosystem. So it'll be interesting to review those after a few weeks and months, because you know we've had the pink launch, we've had the dead launch, now we've got Sting launch. Like, does this, is this a snowball? Is it going to keep happening? I've heard about Limo and, oh, I mean, I've been farming Limo.
You're farming Limo? Farming, how do you farm Limo?
So you have to have a beer with him in person and then give him your Nova address and then he'll airdrop you. So he does actually owe me one from yesterday, actually.
Oh, nice. Yeah, so, yeah. He's got to owe me some too.
Yeah,
okay.
Absolutely.
Is that the only way to get Limo? Or you trade it against Gabe?
But you can now trade it against Gabe.
Yeah.
And G-Bill, I think. I just noticed today, I don't even know what these things are. They're just all here.
Isn't that Gabe's stable Billcoin?
Oh, is
See, this is what we need in Polkadot, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, we have lots of fun on Telegram and whatnot, but we need to have fun on chain too.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. It's just, yeah, it's silly, but that's it's all part of the culture, right?
It's the culture,
it's just having a bit of a laugh and not taking ourselves too seriously.
Brilliant.
And just, yeah, why not? Everyone else is doing it, and I think it's been sorely missing.
Look, something that is very serious, though, okay? We can't have a laugh about this. This is lending and borrowing, all right?
Yes.
You can't slip up on lending and borrowing.
No, absolutely not.
You guys you're using the... Was it Aave V3?
Yes.
Or? Yeah, Aave V3 for that as
so
well.
That when we were deciding, we knew what to do with money market, weren't sure exactly which way would we do it.
Sure.
How would we do it? Would we do a full substrate palette implementation? In the end, we decided to fork the Aave V3 protocol.
Nice.
The rationale behind that, I mean, there were a few comments of like, oh, it's EVM, like, you know, you should build it as substrate, you're on substrate. But ultimately, what we thought was that it's truly battle tested, right? Like the size of the bounties on Aave are just crazy.
Yeah, exactly.
It's been running for a while now. All the eyes in the world are on it. So if there was a vulnerability, there's much bigger prizes to go after than little old people.
Sure, yeah.
And they are really good at reporting to like forks and things if there is a vulnerability or something like that. So it felt super secure, but also why waste, you know, 6 months to a year implementing reinventing the wheel.
Yeah, good point.
When we could just fork it because we have a hybrid chain.
Yeah.
And then we can do all the fun things around that, right?
Okay, so what are those?
So liquidations, rather than just doing normal auctions, we're working on a universal settlement layer for transactions. So this will basically mean that liquidations, OTC orders, limit orders, DCAs, etc., are all sort of executed outside of the Omnipool, sort of like to offset each other. So it's like, I talked about Dakota last year about order batching.
Yeah,
it's like a play on that using intents to basically, so say, you can, it allows more flexibility for DCA as well, because you can say, I want to buy whenever Bitcoin's below this amount, or I want to sell whenever.
So you can introduce some limit orders?
Limit orders coming. And it basically means that anything that's then left over in that block will then just execute against the Omnipool. So we can do priority in block for liquidations, right, as a part of that. So like, first thing that happens in the block is that liquidations happen. So rather than typically when things are really volatile and then Ethereum or Solana, rather, they get super congested and transactions start failing.
Yeah, what happens?
And then liquidations then get queued, they don't get executed at the price, and then at the price they do get executed at, it's much worse. So they're then like, that's when you get these huge shadow candles, everything's clogged and then everything's, and people are getting wrecked on it, right? So we can do much smaller liquidations more regularly, guarantee that they happen first.
Yeah,
because if you can't do a swap, yeah, maybe it sucks for you if we're super congested, but at least you're like been liquidated fairly, and you're getting a fair liquidation price on that as well, so you're not just losing 20-30% of your value because it took too long. So we're always, like I said, about these Lego bricks that we're adding on to the base product.
Sure.
This is what we can do more and more of.
Up and down.
Yeah,
nice.
Exactly. Having the flexibility of your own block production, it means you can do some really cool stuff. You can make it more efficient than anyone else and deliver the best product. And so users will then go to the best products as long as there are other users, right?
I love it. When can we expect the money market? Is there a date, or are we just
the money market
trying to get it
done? Should be May.
Okay.
So we're just weeks away from the money market.
Oh, whoa.
And then stablecoin will follow that. Because they're both huge features.
Huge, yeah.
We could launch them at the same time, but then there's a lot to keep your eye on. So we want to do what we did with Omnipool, you know, launch it steady, safe, you know, be careful with the parameters and everything. So we just make sure we can watch it and mollycoddle it a little bit.
Yeah, of course.
And then, over time, take off the reins a little bit and go from there. So
you guys are so slick with your launches. It all seems to go so smoothly.
They generally, yeah, I mean...
I mean, I don't know about deep in the Discord, but from the outside, yeah, actually, like, it's smooth.
Nobody wants to see that.
Yeah.
Nobody wants to see me losing it. But absolutely, yeah, It's got to land well.
Yeah, yeah.
And it's a natural sort of follow on from the sort of polka dot hydration campaign that you have. The more liquidity you have to execute these liquidations against, obviously the better liquidation price the users get and
sure.
the protocol gets, and you know lower risk of bad debt, and you can reduce fees, and obviously users want to pay. They want to borrow for the smallest APR they can, and lenders want to get a good APR. So if you haven't got to take massive chunks for liquidation fees to be protected and things you can get a more efficient product. You know,
yeah.
the money market is another form of TVL, right? So you got the lent funds is total value locked, so that helps to increase those numbers. And generally, like, people, they have their safe haven assets, like their I'm not saying they're safe, but they consider them safe. Not financial advice.
Okay.
Do your own research. So, like, they have their Bitcoin, their ETH, their DOT or VDOT or whatever.
Yeah, yeah.
And they don't want to sell it, but they want to mess around and long stink or whatever, right? So
sure.
Having the money market available so that they could just, like, right, okay, I'm just going to borrow some USDT against my, or some HOLA against my Bitcoin, and I want to buy some stink and then sell it back and pay it off or whatever. So it just gives more flexibility and... allows capital to flow easier.
Some members from your team are part of this Velocity Labs initiative.
Yeah.
This is trying to patch some DeFi holes in Polkadot, trying to clean it up.
Mm-hmm.
For you, what's the most important holes to patch?
I think the biggest one is the SEX assets.
Yeah, right.
So whether that's listings for tokens, whether that's just how do you get USDT or USDC native to the ecosystem,
because
like it or not, most people use SEX as their on-off ramp, A, because it's easy to do,
of course,
B, because it's usually cheapest, so we have more options coming into the ecosystem for on-off ramps, but typically their fees, spreads and things are quite high. If you can just pay like a pound or whatever to get your liquidity into crypto or our crypto, then
we really need them.
So,
I mean, what other options do you have? Like OTC, selling on the street?
Yeah, there's like Bitcoin, cash machine things,
right,
and stuff like that. Like, it's just all very fictitious.
Who would do that, of course?
So we need better integrations from centralized exchanges, which I know the Velocity guys are working on. More asset listings for ecosystem tokens.
Yeah.
I maybe mid-curved it a bit too much in the early days. We're like, oh, now everything should be done on a DEX. You don't need a SEX listing, et cetera, et cetera.
Mm-hmm.
But ultimately, the right SEX listings, you know, gives it greater availability to more people to come in and find your ecosystem and try it out. So sometimes it can be better to get more eyes on the product, and sometimes it just helps to bring in that outside capital, right?
It's like the entrance to crypto. That's how people get in. Now, when people really get into HydroDX, you guys have a really active governance situation going on. Maybe
super active.
Maybe it's the most active parachain. I'm not sure.
We've got three up today.
You have three up today. Well, okay. And what do you have, like a 3-day decision period or something like that?
Currently,
generally?
Yeah. You submit the proposal to the council, they sign off on it, and then you have like a launch period, which is currently 3 days. That then goes to referendum. If it's not fast-tracked, that takes 3 days, and then you've got a day of enactment.
What's the secret? Why do you think people are so happy to participate in HydroDX governance?
Well, we've obviously tied that in quite heavily to our staking.
Yes.
So we added staking for many reasons, one of which was obviously because people just like to stake. But we were always against doing it for the sake of staking if it couldn't provide something to the protocol. And if there wasn't a sustainable way of funding that, right? Because inflation for the sake of inflation just kind of pointless.
You guys don't have inflation.
No. It's a fixed supply. So we subsidized that staking pot for the first year. But that's only, I think, about a quarter of the actual APR that's generated. The rest of it comes from trade fees, basically.
Yeah, amazing.
If you participate in referenda with your staked tokens, then you get action points, which essentially just boost the speed at which you can claim your staking rewards. So if you just stake passively and never vote, Yeah. Then it can take up to 2 years for those to sort of the asymptotic curve to reach close to 100%.
Okay.
But you can get them much, much, much quicker. So like after 3 months, I think I was on like 100% on or close to like 99% or something.
So after 3 months of participating in governance, you're able to take out all of the staking rewards you've earned in that period right away.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I mean, obviously, I haven't done that because I'm staying at the high threshold. But it's just a way that you can get them faster if you want to then compound them.
Oh, damn, that's really interesting.
Like that. So,
if you want a quick exit, you have to be actually really committed.
Yeah,
yeah, it's kind of funny.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah. So, and there's been some noise from people who say like, oh, you know, I like to be able to claim my stake and rewards and. It's crazy because I've been doing this for 2 months, but you know, there's not much percentage I can claim.
Yeah, yeah.
And then you see these people leave, but when they leave, they forfeit what's not claimable. So then everybody who's still in gets more.
Oh.
So every time you see someone exit, you're like, ooh, and then you see like, they forfeit. I saw one before. They forfeit a few hundred thousand HDX, right?
No way.
And that just went back into the pot for everybody who was still there. So
I love that system.
It's sort of like last man standing.
I've never fully understood it or appreciated the system, how it works. That's really fascinating.
We'll add more, like with the money market, stable coin, we'll hopefully add some more revenues for that pot.
Sure.
So that it becomes more attractive. Because I think something like 50% of the circulating supply is actually locked up in staking.
Ah, okay.
So it's all in quite convicted hands. Hmm. So that obviously spreads the rewards across a lot of stakes. So the APR, I think at the moment, I checked, was like 6% or something, but that's mostly from just trade fees. So you think the more trades that happen, the more volume, the more TVL, the more activity, the more that goes into that pot, which makes it more attractive for users. So
crazy. I find most often, I don't know what you would say, maybe at least 70% of the time, people are in step. Everybody's on the same page. Maybe it's more than that. One thing that was slightly controversial was rebranding.
Yeah.
From HydroDX, the three-headed liquidity monster, you know, a great brand, really, to Destination Hydration? Or is it Hydration Destination?
Hydration. Like hydration. The post was Destination Hydration.
Yeah, okay, okay. Yeah, so it's just Hydration. Hydration is... If you're unfamiliar with the vibe, it's basically what you're seeing right now. Palm trees
like,
and water.
Vibe, just like water liquidity. Yeah.
I mean, so what's the story there?
So when it was first brought up in one of our team meetings, I think, I was actually quite vehemently against it.
Oh, yeah, okay.
Because, like, no, that's my baby, though. That's not happening. Like, Hydra's so cool. But then the more you think about it in terms of the product is evolving from this small, you know, DEX on Polkadot to, like, an all-in-one DeFi powerhouse for Polkadot and beyond, right?
Yeah, yeah.
So we felt it more accurately portrayed the more mature, bigger products that we were going for. Also, we found, like, whenever we're speaking to people, that HydroDX, like, so it's like super niche, right? Like, it's cool, but like there's a lot of lore there in terms of like ancient Greece and like there's some negative connotations around the word Hydra with Russian hackers and things like that.
I see.
And it's like, for me, it's quite difficult to say like, oh yeah, from HydroDX, and people are like, sorry, what? Like, unless they're really listening, like, and they see it, like,
that
sounds a bit confusing.
Yeah.
So hydration
is so chill.
Yeah, so much easier.
That's cool.
I think it just represents the vibes quite nicely.
Totally.
And look, water's super important, right? Like, it's
absolutely,
standing here being hydrated. It's just cool. But the backing obviously was controversial, but the backing was quite heavy. I'm going to speak to new people about it. They all agree like this. It makes sense and it feels more scalable, certainly.
Yeah, it's a sweet move. But you know, I feel so happy, feel so lucky that we have Hydra DX hydration in the Polkadot ecosystem. You guys are like one of the most exciting projects we have, and you've been here since the beginning. You've been here through all the mud and all the crap, and now you're thriving. It's a triumph.
Yeah,
and it's just really great to have you around.
No, I appreciate that.
Yeah,
it's great to be part of the ecosystem. It's a super passionate ecosystem. There's a lot of great builders around there. As an ecosystem, we've been through some shit.
Yeah,
still going through some shit, but I think all ecosystems are in one way or another. And I think the problems that we have are easily fixable, and there are things we can fix. Like, we've sort of solved the difficult problems first.
Totally.
And are now, certainly from ecosystem agents, I get this feeling that everyone's focusing on, right, okay, how can we improve this? So
the shitcoining has been, like, some people may disapprove of it, but it's highlighted a load of UX issues with XCM and with Asset Hub that are now being resolved.
Yeah.
And it's just sort of like helped people to pull the finger out their ass a little bit on some fronts. So, yeah, I'm super pleased that the impact that's having and, you know, the feedback that we're all given all the time. I'm super excited for seeing
how that comes through. Shitcoin Casino today, money market soon, then stablecoin, and then this execution layer.
Yeah.
Whatever we're calling it again.
Yeah. The order matching engine.
Order matching engine. I like the order matching engine. Yeah, that's cool.
Name probably change a million times.
Right.
On the monthly blogs.
Thanks for coming on the show and catching us up.
Oh,
and see you in the Omnipool.
Yeah, see you soon.
Cool.